The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.
It is the Anton Savage Show, and lately I find myself early in the mornings waking up and thinking of Derek Mooney.
Because that's a very pleasant thought, Anton. Thank you very much indeed.
The birds kick off at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's one that starts them, and I find myself lying in bed awake because of them, thinking, well, at least Derek will be happy with this. I can't sleep.
Oh, well, Anton, I have a present for you. You thought I brought my lunch because I have a little parcel here all wrapped up in tinfoil. Now, be careful, because I had got sticky chicken wings wrapped in that tinfoil, but I reused it. You know, you don't like to waste anything.
No,
and I do like to recycle.
Why have you brought me?
I brought you a gift. Yeah, you have to open it up and have a look at it. What is it? Describe
it
for your listener.
I love it. It is a white t-shirt, and on the front of it, there is a single vertical branch, and it says, "Birds do it with one eye open."
It's true.
Sleep.
The Dawn Chorus. Now look at the back of it.
Oh, hang on. There's a script on the back.
There is.
USWS. Some can even sleep with one eye open as half of their brain is alert while the other is asleep. This is called unihemispheric slow wave sleep. You could have warned me that one was coming up, Derek. And it allows the sleeping bird to spring into action quickly from rest if a threat approaches. Is that true?
Exactly like any radio presenter looking for the next gig. They sleep with one eye open.
Ducks and waterfowl. I can't believe I'm doing a show off the back of a t-shirt. Ducks and waterfowl.
Literally, it's on the back of the t-shirt.
Particularly good at this, although other birds like peregrine falcons and Eurasian blackbirds
and
can
that
do it
is
as
an
well.
Eurasian blackbird on the front of that t-shirt.
Derek, can I keep this?
You know, it's for you. I got it made. So and I have it in your size, Anton. It's extra, extra large.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, I thought you would like it because you've got a curious mind.
And it's Paul Galvin, its designer. Very fancy.
Yeah, 12 quid.
Am I right in saying that the same
the t-shirts
is true.
Are available from other outlets I bought?
Don't dolphins do the same
thing?
They
do. Yeah, cetaceans do it. Yeah, they sleep, marine mammals. They sleep like that. And what whales do is actually they guide the ones that are asleep in the water. You know, they keep a streamline for them and they keep them safe. And dolphins do the same thing. But some birds do it. Ducks do it. So if you ever come across a duck and you think the duck is looking at you, well, the duck is asleep and it has this what's called nictitating membrane, which comes across the eye. And they can still see through that nictitating membrane. And it gives them kind of forewarning if they can see shadows and stuff, there's something coming towards them. So half the brain is awake and half the brain is asleep. But the eye, and the same, the eye is kind of half open. And it's the same for the blackbird. The blackbird does it. And the reason I put the blackbird on it was to explain to the listeners and to yourself, Anton. I'm not in a patronising way, I hasten to add. And I'm not mansplaining to you, clearly.
Have at it, Derek. Somebody's got it.
But the reason is that the blackbird is usually the first bird to wake up and sing in the dawn chorus because it is the bird with the biggest eye. And when you get that first glimmer of light in the sky, the birds with the big eyes wake up, unless they have been disturbed by light pollution, which is man-made. So you get birds on streets because we get people phoning us all the time. Now, I was coming home the other morning, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and the birds were singing. They're disturbed by passing traffic, by lights, by anything that's going on.
Oh,
birds
they'll
go
sing
into
a sleep. Light.
They do sleep. And people always say to us, what are they doing before that they sing? And I said, they're sleeping. So that's why I had the t-shirt made for you. In fact, I was with Annie the Lounder the other day in Cork, and I met her in the morning just after breakfast, and I said, how did you sleep last night? With me eyes closed. Well, in the case of some birds, it's with one eye open and one eye closed. And unihemispheric slow wave sleep. You'll never forget it.
This is a big night for you and a problematic night for me because I'm going to be woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning this morning because tonight is Dawn
Chorus.
The
Dawn Chorus, yes. So tomorrow is International Dawn Chorus Day. And there's a lovely story behind that. A man called Chris Baines, who's an environmentalist, and he was the first guy in the UK to win a gold medal for a wildlife garden at the Chelsea Flower Show back in the day. And they didn't even know what it was, but he's written lots of books about gardening, conservation, etc. And he used to bring friends around to his house in Wolverhampton to enjoy the Dawn Chorus. And he decided, let's do something about this. So 35, nearly 40 years ago, he contacted the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. And he said, you know that next Sunday is International Dawn Chorus Day? And some eager reporter, researcher said, no, we didn't, we'll do that. And he went in and just announced it. And ever since, International Dawn Chorus Day takes place on the first Sunday in May each year. And millions of people literally around the world celebrate it, but celebrate it kind of quietly because it never gets an awful lot of attention. And he credits us for bringing it to more kind of attention in a Europe-wide sense, because we do the International Dawn Chorus live from Kuskany Marsh in Cove, and we literally broadcast that all over Europe on the World Wide Web. But for the past few years, we've been engaging with our European colleagues in the EBU. This year, no, but next year, yes, because we're 30 years on air. So we go on air at midnight, And we finished at 7.
You're doing 30 years. You're not.
Minnie Goes Wild is 30 years on air
That's
next year.
That's not. Back away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have been a mere child when you started.
I am still a
Derek.
Child. I am only 27. What is the lady's age? 29 in bingo. 209, 29, the lady's age. So I've been doing it that long in one manner, shape or form, but we've been really doing it big like this with big OBs and lots of locations for the past 20 years. So we have two locations, Kuskany Marsh and East Coast Nature Reserve. Niall Hatch and Jim Wilson, you know Niall Hatch, he's been in with you. Then Ain and Ilana will be down in Wicklow with Eric Dempsey and Terry Flanagan. And we'll be in the studio with my team, Michelle and Daniel.
Meanwhile, you mentioned cetaceans earlier on.
Yes,
I want to talk to you about cetaceans because I am told from a source that you have particularly good information and insights about orcas attacking boats in the Strait of Gibraltar.
Yeah, these are known as Iberian orcas. There's a subpopulation of orcas in the Strait of Gibraltar. So for the benefit of the listeners again, if you imagine Spain and you go to the southernmost point of Spain and everybody thinks that's Gibraltar, but it's actually, you can go further than that to a municipality called Tarifa. And next stop is North Africa, Morocco, and it's about an hour on the ferry across that strait. So that's known as the Strait of Gibraltar. And on one side you have the Mediterranean, and on the other side you have the Atlantic Ocean. Now, if you're into kite surfing or windsurfing, that's where you go. The place is full of dudes with the long hair and camper vans, right? But it's also a lovely town. But in this strait here, certain times of year, the pods come in, they're following the bluefin tuna. They're feeding on that primarily.
And they have orcas are quick enough to catch a bluefin tuna,
are they? The orcas are very, very fast. And what's been happening is that sailing boats coming through there, it's one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world. Think of Captain Phillips, the movie. You know that movie? And you see these huge container ships. Well, they're passing through every 5 minutes. It's ginormous, but it's not that wide. But also lots of sailing boats are going through there. Some on their engine, some sailing through. And what has been happening, first reported in 2020, possibly happened before then, that orcas are, according to the local media and now international media, attacking the sailing boats. And in some cases, ripping off the rudder, scraping their teeth along the bow of the boat. And four sailing vessels have actually sunk. Now, nobody has died. There have been no fatalities.
Could you imagine anything as terrifying as
sinking beside
an angry orca?
Yeah, and like they're big creatures. And when you're in the water and you see them, you realise how big they are. And you can just get that sense of an enormity from. Do you know what the original name for an orca was, actually? Now, did you mention that? Orcanus orca gladiator, from the Latin name, known as the kind of whale fighter. An Orcanus in tribute to the Greek god Orcus, who is the god of the Netherlands, right? So that's the original name of orcas. And they were given the name killer whales because they were noted to kill other whales, not people. And in fact, only a handful of people have died from orca attacks.
Although
and they
weirdly,
were in captivity.
We do have orca serial killers, though, because there are single orca who have killed...
Tillicum has killed three people, and he was in SeaWorld in Florida. And then there was one other that person that was killed by another orca. But in the wild, only one documented case. So we're not on the menu, and apparently orcas learn to take their prey from their mother. It's a matriarchal society. So if the matriarch isn't eating Anton Savage and Derek Mooney, then the offspring are not going to eat Anton Savage and Derek Mooney.
I have a thing that I think...
I'm sure you have. Go on anyway.
I have a thing that I think you might know.
There's lots of stuff I don't know.
No, this is high risk, but I think I'm going to risk it anyway.
Well, you must have been reading all night.
Not only are orca a matriarchal society, they are a grand matriarchal society.
That's correct, yeah.
They are one of only three species that go through the menopause.
And you're going to, and you're going to ask me what the other species are.
No, I can't. No, I wasn't going to do that. But because it is evolutionary, apparently more advantageous to help.
And I only know that because Ain and Ilana told me that. Having never gone through the menopause. Well, I think I have gone through the menopause. I'm not sure. I do get hot flushes occasionally. But yes, I do know they go through that. But I can't remember what... So there's humans and orcas, and what are you going to say?
There's another whale. There's a pilot whale. I can't remember which
one.
Well,
I saw pilot whales a few weeks ago when I was out there, yeah.
Show up.
But no, I did. No, not showing up. The great thing about Tarifa, I've gone whale watching. There's two things I've done in my life lots of times and have been bitterly disappointed every time I've done it. One is going looking for the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And I've never seen the bloody things. I'm convinced they're a laser show put on for the tourists. And the other thing is to go whale watching. And I've gone in lots of different parts of the world. I've driven from hours and hours and hours and gone out on boats up in the fjords in Norway and never seen an orca. When I was in Tarifa, and you can go whale watching from there, we were on special craft, but you can go whale watching. We were only 15 minutes out from the port and we saw a sperm whale. And sperm whale, you know, from Moby Dick.
Big white lad, Melville.
Melville, yeah.
Starbuck.
And, and the biggest brain in the world, they can dive for hours. Now, we saw it just as it was making its final dive, and it never came up for the whole few hours we were on the...
And they're regularly found. We know of... I was going to...
Herman the Merville.
The giant squid.
Yeah, the giant squid and all that kind of stuff.
But we know of the existence of giant squid originally because of the scars on sperm whales from their battles with them.
Yeah, and we know they eat squid because of the ambergris, you know, that they spew out. You know, it's very valuable. I think a kilogram of ambergris is worth thousands. I know
that
it was once said
that
if you...
Is that what they use
it? Yeah, they use it as a fixitant for perfume. So it's... At first it was thought that they belched it up, they spat it out. Now they understand that it actually has passed. It's formed in the digestive tract. And what it does is it coats the bones, the beaks of those squid, you know, to prevent them from causing damage. And when it comes out first, it's very smelly and it floats in the water for years. And then eventually it ends up on the shore. And if you find this stuff, if you're lucky enough to find it, apparently it has a very sweet smell at that stage. And it's worth a fortune. It's worth its weight in gold, quite literally, you know.
Isn't it
and
weird
they use dogs to find whales because of that, because they can scent out, like the ways they use dogs and
isn't
pigs.
Isn't it funny
for
though
truffles.
To think that the wealthy
said
elites
nature was
of
boring.
Europe.
Why isn't nature programming on every day, all the time?
Correct.
Yeah.
God
but
damn
the
it.
Reason you asked me about orcas, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
My pleasure. I had a reason.
It's because we have a series called Back from the Brink, which we've been doing for the last 4 years, and it's a conservation series looking at conservation stories across Europe. We feature Ireland very heavily in it, and we feature other stories, including those orcas, because, well, there's a means to an end. What's going on there? What are the orcas doing? Why are they doing it? And what are the researchers finding out? And how can they stop this from happening? For two reasons: to protect the whales from getting into serious problems with the craft, and also to protect the humans who not would die as a result of being attacked by the orcas, but just by drowning. So they're looking at that, and we feature that. Another great story we have in Ireland is the return of the osprey and the Irish wild, the old Irish goat. Have you ever heard of the old Irish goat?
Where are they? Howth? Is that where they are now?
They put them on Howth. This is a breed that's been in Ireland for over 5,000 years, and there's researchers working on them for the past couple of decades, and they're insistent that they're the original strain. They were here before any other goat, and they've been used for conservation measures for grazing the land and creating natural firebreaks to stop wildfires. And it is working in Howth.
Derek, always a joy.
Thank
and
you,
thank
Anton.
You again so much.
Will you
for
wear the t-shirt?
Of course I will wear the
great,
t-shirt.
I'm delighted.
I'll show up a picture later on of me in it. By the way, we have an answer to how to get rid of your ants. Peppermint, apparently. Maybe put peppermint in a pot because ants, we are told, don't like peppermint. Derek, thank you so much.
Ramil Mogan.
The Anton Savage Show. With Kiri's.ie. On News Talk.